You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
So we're gonna go into 91, or are you guys? Are you still available?
I'm good.
We're doing 91, right?
Yep.
Let's do it.
All right.
This is 90-something podcast.
I know it sounds mental, but sometimes I have more fun vegging out than when I go partying. Maybe because my party clothes are so binding.
You're an idiot.
I'll show you. Starting tomorrow, you'll see I'm just as sane as anybody.
But I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you. I make you laugh. I'm here to fucking amuse you. What do you mean funny? Funny how? How am I funny?
Smelly cat, what are they feeding you?
Mentos, the fresh maker.
Hi, this is Banzai Retro Club. I am Dave. Can you dig it? Online, I have got Scott.
Hello, great to be back.
And I got Rose.
Hey, everybody.
In today's episode, we are talking about our favorite albums from the year 1991. So what we're going to do is each of us co-hosts have taken a look and jogged our memory banks and decided, you know, what one album do we want to talk about that was released in 1991? And so many great choices. I purposely, when I was looking at this list, when we talked about our favorite albums from the 1990s, I went into this album called 10, and then I got really a lot of beatdown from Scott. And so I decided to stay away from that album for this episode.
Because it was 91.
It was 91. Mm-hmm. And because I've already talked about my love for that, so I wanted to go into a different album, you know, as something to, you know, bring a little more variety into our, you know, our listeners' ears, if you will. Mm-hmm. You know what? I could start if that's cool.
Go for it.
The album that I wanted to talk about, and this kind of leads into the backstory that I told you guys from before, where in the 80s, I kind of had a very, what I described as a vanilla kind of a thing, where it was just top 40 hits and whatever got radio airplay and went on MTV and that kind of thing. And in 1989, joined the Navy. And so in the 90s, I had a bigger spectrum of listening pleasure based on the people that I was stationed with. And something that I started to evolve as I graduated high school was more of an alternative sound. And what I got to appreciate in 1991, there was the release of Pocket Full of Kryptonite by Spin Doctors.
Wow.
Nice.
So this album, I remember having the CD, and I remember playing the hell out of track 1, 3, and 7, which are Jimmy Olsen Blues, Little Miss Can't Be Wrong, and Two Princes. But, you know, as I got to appreciate the rest of the songs that were on the track list for this CD, I got to appreciate all of them. You know, and you get into, well, you believe you got the Spin Doctor sound down, And then you hear a song like, How Could You Want Him When You Know You Could Have Had Me, which is a lot more simple of a sound for them and kind of bleeds into very popish kind of a sound, kind of slowed down. And it's just really, it's great to hear their variety, whereas, everything else is just alternative. As far as one of the songs I don't like on this album is What Time Is It? And that's track two. For some reason, I just never could get into that one. But The Pocket Full of Kryptonite, the reason why it's named that is because it's based on the lyrics from track one, which is Jimmy Olsen Blues, which, being a fan of comic books, you guys, realize that I've got the sing for Batman and all that. And, for them to write a song about what it'd be like to be Jimmy Olsen and have a thing for Lois Lane, and he's competing against Superman, of course you're going to have a pocket full of kryptonite, so... it's just a fun take on, the superhero mythos, from Jimmy Olsen's point of view in a song. And it was just really fun to listen to and really enjoyed it. But yeah, you can listen to the radio without hearing Little Miss Can't Be Wrong or Two Princes. So to me, it was just a fun album. I just remembered playing the hell out of this, ever since I listened to it the first time. So did Spin Doctors do anything to you for you guys, Rose?
I probably remember the hit that they had. I didn't listen to them on a regular basis, just what I heard on the radio. Didn't really do much for me, I'm afraid.
They weren't very clean. as far as the look goes, it kind of had that scraggly singer, front lead singer, with the long beard and...
So, it's just, where I was then was different than where I am now. I mean, I'd be more than happy to revisit, see if they have a more of an impact on me now.
Okay. What about you, Scott?
So this album had a little bit of staying power too, because it was popular enough to where Two Princes was played at my wedding, at our wedding, reception. And I remember that song specifically, of all the songs that were played at our wedding reception, that's the one that I remember. Oh, and then Right Set Fred, I'm Too Sexy for My Shirt.
I love it.
Awesome. Now, why would you remember Two Princes? And our,
I don't know. It was just one of the ones that the DJ played. It's got a nice, it's a good dance beat. It's not like hard. It's not like club dancing, but people get up, they know the song. It's pop. The people can get into it. So I remember it being one of the songs that was at our wedding reception. So, yeah,
cool.
And do you want to know? Side note, it was funny. The song that we danced to, like our first dance, was from Aladdin, A Whole New World.
Aww. So cute.
It was cheesy, but it was good stuff. And we told the DJ we did not want, there were two songs that we did not want played because they're overdone at weddings. Mm-hmm. And that's We Are Family by Sister Sledge and Celebration by...
Cool and the Gang.
Yeah, Cool and the Gang. Yeah, those two, we just didn't want them because we'd overheard them. All of our friends were getting married at the same time, and they just been overdone. So anyway, we had Two Princes by Spin Doctors during our wedding reception.
Yeah, you can't have a party without Celebration, by the way. So I think
You can actually.
No, you can't. Yeah. You can't.
I
do
have
it.
Video.
No.
I have video to prove it.
You can't do it. It's just not possible.
I believe it's VHS.
I think your wedding is null and void, Gal. There might be some sort of law or rule or something like that. I'll have to go back and check the law books. I think
24 years next Sunday, buddy.
Well, obviously it's not a a legit marriage now because Celebration wasn't played at the reception. I have a little issue there. You're gonna have to go back and redo that now.
Okay, I'll let her know when we go to Jeep Beach next week.
Yeah, you do that.
Wherever we're at, I'll just request that to the DJ. So.
Well, it's too late now. This is like 24 years ago now.
Oh, when they renew their vows, they can do it then.
It's funny. We keep talking about doing that, too. Like, we talked about doing it about like 5-6 years ago. We should renew our vows just for, just to have the party part of it.
Because we should renew
our vows. We should have done it at our 80s party. That would have been perfect.
Yeah.
And by the way, I'm an ordained minister through UniversalLifeChurch.com.
You are not.
I totally am, dude. I went on the website and filled out the little form.
No way.
That's all that's involved. That's all it is. You go online and you fill out a form.
Oh, boy.
And they send you like this little certificate. You're an ordained minister. So all you got to do in order to officiate ceremonies is check to see if you need to be registered with the state. So if there's a certain states have require you to be registered, and that's it. And then anybody can officiate a wedding. Believe it or not.
Sweet.
Yeah. So, Reverend Dave. Isn't that scary?
Oh, it's no longer the Overlord. It's Reverend.
Oh, my God. Mom.
Reverend Dave the Overlord.
My mom just cringes at that. She's like, you are not ordained. Like, yes, I am, according to UniversalLifeChurch.com. To me, it was like the episode of Friends with Joey. By the power invested in me and the internet people,
Yeah.
I was just like, it can't be that easy. And then it was. And I was like, oh, wow. All right, cool. So I digress. That was my pick. Spin Doctors. Awesome. Pocket Full of Kryptonite. Fun album for me. Really enjoyed it. So, Rose, what's your pick for 1991 album?
I picked something that probably, I don't know, maybe you all have heard of it, maybe you haven't. It's an album called Electric Landlady by Kirsty MacColl.
Oh, Kirsty MacColl.
Yeah. Awesome.
I know Kirsty MacColl. I don't know her. I mean, I know I don't know her now. She passed away years ago.
Yeah, in 2000. But yeah, she's from England, and she had been, she had like several small hits throughout the 80s, and then she made this album, Electric Landlady, and her big hit from that was Walking Down Madison, which is a very, poppy song, and there's actually a rap to it as well, which was kind of avant-garde at the time. There's a lot of really good songs on here. She's an excellent songwriter and musician. I found out about her posthumously. So I had to get the album because I heard the song. There's a guy down at the chip shop swears he's Elvis. And I'm like, who is that that wrote that song? So I looked her up and I'm like, oh. And my husband told me, he says, well, you might want to check out Electric Landlady. That's one of her better albums. Mm. And I went, oh, okay. So I got it, listened to it, completely loved it. Halloween is a really good song on there. My Affair, it has a very upbeat calypso. Kind of
she's got a lot of that Latin influence in her music.
Yeah, she did get a lot of
it's very fun. She's got a lot of fun stuff.
She does, and she has a lot of meaning to a lot of her songs as well, too. So the whole album is really good if you ever get a chance to just listen to it. Maybe it's Imaginary, that's a good song. Children of the Revolution. She's always saying something. I know most songwriters do say something, but it's just, every song is just thought-provoking. So it's a shame that we lost her so soon in her life.
Didn't she die like in a boating? It was a boating accident, right?
She was swimming and a boat, a speedboat.
Like hit her, basically.
Yeah, and it was out of its area. The litigation is actually still going on with the...
Really?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, their whole... the city where she died, and I think... I don't know if their family is suing, like, the entire country of Mexico. I know they're suing the people in the
city. She was in Cozumel. Down in Cozumel, where that happened. Wow. Yeah.
So... Yeah.
So, I gotta look up the name of that album.
Yeah.
Because I didn't see it come up on the short list that I brought up.
I want to say, just me thinking in my brain, that Electric Landlady is like a reference to Jimi Hendrix, or Jimi Hendrix had a song called Electric Landlady, or something like that. So that's the name of the album. There's not actually a song on there called Electric Landlady, but he apparently did one.
Yeah, I was hoping to see the song In These Shoes.
Yeah, that's on the Galore album, I think.
It's a great song, man.
It is. It's on one of her many compilations. Yeah, it's just she didn't when she wrote even when she wrote fun stuff, it had a lot of meaning to it. As a matter of fact, her first hit, what was it? They Don't Know was remade, covered by Tracy Ullman, who had an even bigger hit from that because she turned it into a fun, like a song. It's like a spoof kind of a thing.
Like a parody.
But she, it was actually the same lyrics, but you know, if you ever saw the video for it, you know, it's about this, she turned it into like this loser guy that she's married to that nobody gets, and she's always doing all the work and he just sits on his butt and doesn't do anything, and the lyrics are just kind of pretty much attest to that, whereas I think Kirsty McCall meant it in a different way, you know, kind of like rebel. Yeah, kind of like the song Rebel. You know, he's a rebel and he'd never ever be any good, you know, but she always saw something better in him than what everybody else saw in him, which makes sense because, you know, love is blind, literally. Sometimes it's deaf and dumb as well. But,
a little criticism there.
I think I'm quoting a movie. Yeah. Oh. or am I? But, yeah. So, good album. I really enjoy it. Listen to it. I still listen to it. Still have it. Have it on CD. So I actually bought the CD because some of her stuff is kind of hard to find.
I can imagine that. We have a couple CDs by her. My wife was, nice. She got into her for a little bit, had listened to her. You know, it's on her short list of playlists back, you know, 10, 12, 15 years ago. Not too long after she passed. So that's tragic, man. She got hit by a boat propeller.
Yeah.
Wow.
To me, the moments right before you're going to die, it would just be sheer terror.
Of that?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Man. That would not be the way I want to go.
No.
Yeah.
But no, I for some reason I can't think of anything that she has done. But I'm sure that if I would have heard a song, I would recognize it. But if you were to recommend a song from this album, Rose, what would be the song?
It would definitely be Walking Down Madison.
Okay.
Yeah. Only second to He Never Mentioned Love. That's always a good one. A lot of, I don't want to say bitterness, but there's some, it's like a eye-opening experience when you hear the lyrics and you go, oh, okay. That's on you.
So bitterness, not like Alanis Morissette bitterness, though.
No. I can't even say that. It's kind of like Oh yeah, you know, but now that I look back on it, you know, he really didn't say that, so.
Ah.
Oh, well, kind of a thing.
Boy, this, she definitely knew some musicians.
Because yeah, her father was a folk singer, too.
There are 45 musicians that participated in this album.
Mm-hmm. A lot of.
Like a lot of studio presenters. Musicians, which is something I wish I would have gone into. That would be so cool to be able to play with some of the artists that hire, you know, studio musicians. So very cool. Anyway, good. This is a good pick. I don't know the album. I don't know the album very well. I don't know if this is one that Chrissy has or not. We listened, you know, I caught it. I guess I was by association. I listened to it by association. It wasn't something that I seeked out to listen to. You guys know my taste, though. So.
Well, yeah, of course.
But because Chrissy was listening to it, you know, it kind of, you know, it influences me, too. And I liked her. I like her. I like her style. I like her sound. Her voice was really, she had a very talented voice.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's a shame. Anyway, good album. I'll have to revisit that, see if I have it on CD. I know we have a couple CDs. I'll see if that's one of them. Walking Down Madison, huh? Okay.
Yeah.
I will make note, and I will do my homework.
Cool. All
right. So, Scott, you're up for your favorite from 1991.
So, Dave, you kind of put a little... little obstacle for me.
I put an obstacle for you. Okay.
Yeah. At the beginning of the show, you were gonna, you know, you said 10 from Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
Because we already talked about it in a previous podcast.
Well, no, I'm not stopping you from talking about that. You know, anything that you talked about on that other one, I was just trying to stop myself. That's all.
I was kind of on the fence. Okay. Because I know that I've already mentioned the. You know, Metallica's self-titled album. And I raved about it.
This is the part where Scott talks about the album that I was going to talk about, but I decided not to. Time, Love, and Tenderness by Michael Bolton. Anyway, go ahead.
Wait a minute. How did you know I was going to go that way with a comedy? Like a little bit of funny stuff. I saw it on the list. I'm like, oh, that's what I should do.
That was going to be my lead-in before I started. I was going to go with a little gist about that album.
I can't believe you just said that. That was freaking hilarious.
Dave,
oh, God.
Great minds.
Dave, Scott was Michael Bolton before you were. Okay.
Oh, gosh.
Great movie, by the way. Great movie. And I'm still having trouble with my TPS report.
I just love his whole library. Whatever it is. I can't remember it now. Which, by the way...
We celebrate his whole catalog.
You do really? Yeah, that's it. We celebrate his whole catalog. That is a 90s movie that we are going to have to talk about.
Oh, yes. We have to.
Yes.
We have to.
Yes. Yeah.
I have to get my red line... my swing line stapler.
I have a blue one at work.
It's my stapler.
I'm going to have to go ahead and ask you to go on to your pick now, Scott.
I'm not moving my desk again. I could burn this whole place to the ground.
Yeah, if I can have you talk about your 91 favorite album now, Scott. Yeah.
Okay, so my initial idea was to take Metallica's, you know, self-titled album, but I'm not going there. I'm going to go with the next one, which is Bad Motor Finger by Soundgarden.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Another person, you know, another singer that we lost. This was a little more recently, Chris Cornell.
Mm-hmm.
It's got, first of all, Rusty Cage is very, very well done by them. I love their Rusty Cage. But when Johnny Cash came back and made a remake of that, it is unbelievable. It is such a good, it's like one of the best cover songs I've ever heard. It's phenomenal. So anyway, but that one's got, it's also Outshined is on there. It's really, really good. This album, you know, this is one that I didn't get to appreciate until years later. Like I didn't like the grunge movement. And I was kind of hesitant before I started getting into some of that stuff. And, I will say of those, like you, I know Dave, you said you're a big Pearl Jam fan from the time. Soundgarden was the one for me that came out of that grunge sound. Chris Cornell's vocals always blow me away. A lot of good songs on this one. Slaves and Bulldozers, most people don't know that song. It was track 3. It never got a lot of play, but it's one of my favorite songs by them. I have it in my rotation of my, you know, one of my heavier playlists. And that's awesome. There's just a lot of good stuff on this album. So I don't know if you guys know this one very well, but that's my pick.
Yeah, Soundgarden for me was, I got more into them with their 1994 album, Super Unknown. So, you know, to me, that's kind of what, when I think of them, is what I'm thinking of those type of, you know, the songs that were off of that one. That was what, Spoon Man was that on that one, I think?
Yeah, I think so. Oh, no.
No, that was Allison Chains.
That's Allison Chains.
Right. Okay. Where am I at? Okay. Black Hole Sun. No, Spoon Man. Yeah, Spoon Man, Black Hole Sun.
Oh, was it? Yeah, that
was 94. Right. Yeah.
Why am I thinking Allison Chains?
So those are the songs that I know a little bit better. So that was a little bit later in that, you know, in the decade, you know, from 94. So I haven't really listened to the 91 album. I'm going to have to do that.
Yeah, it's got some... Have you ever heard Rusty Cage by either them or Johnny Cash?
It does not. It's not coming to mind.
Oh, dude. I'm telling Rose, seriously, listen to the Johnny Cash version of Rusty Cage.
Okay.
Well, actually, first listen to Soundgarden's.
Mm-hmm.
It's a much faster beat. It's a faster rhythm altogether. But Johnny Cash just really... Oh. I can't say enough about that one. And he also does another one. Johnny Cash also does on the same album. He does, you know, he's like all these cover songs before.
Didn't he do Hurt too?
Yes. And that one is amazing. Also Nine Inch Nails.
And Personal Jesus.
Uh-huh.
He just really was kicking ass during his last years. I'm telling you, he was like throwing caution in the wind. Mm-hmm. So that's another podcast in itself.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I honestly have never, other than what I heard on the radio, never was into the grunge movement, even though I live here in Seattle. And it's, you know, nothing bad against it. I mean, I, you know, appreciate they started like this whole new genre of music that just really took off, and you have to appreciate just that in itself. I think the first time, other than Black Hole Sun, I think the first time I ever heard Chris Cornell really sing or really hear him sing was when he did that duet with Eddie Vedder.
Mm-hmm. Hunger Strike.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm Temple of the Dog.
Yeah.
Like, who the hell is that? His head's gonna explode. Oh my god. It's just that he was just all voice. It was just like one big voice. You know, just would just blow you away. And it just. So my homework is going to be listening to this album, and Spin Doctors.
Yeah.
I can't.
Rusty Cage is a great song. It really is. And Outshined, you might recognize it.
Yeah.
Outshined has been on the radio for many years. If you ever are listening to rock radio or some of the little bit of the harder rock radio, not heavy stuff, but you probably will recognize Outshined. Dave, do you know Outshined?
Sounds familiar, but once again, yeah, I
think you'll recognize it too. If you were listening to grunge and Pearl Jam at the time, you probably heard Outshined back then.
I'm sure I did by proxy. I just didn't realize it was them.
I can't believe it's, 17 years old.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I think it's funny that when you bring up, though, like Rusty Cage, you're talking about, their version of it and then Johnny Cash's version of it. Mm-hmm. And do you have a favorite between those two different versions, or are they just, because they're so different, they're just great in their own right?
Wow. I got to go Johnny Cash on that one.
Okay.
It's fucking unbelievable. Like, it's that good. It's really amazing song. I've asked you, to listen to a few songs over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
I would put my most weight on this one.
Okay. That says a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and the reason why I ask that question like that is because recently I have come to appreciate there's an album that was released called Under the Covers, and it's got Matthew Sweet and Susanna Hoffs as a duet together. Wow. And they redid a Save It for Later from English Beat.
I'm actually
digging both sounds so much now, because I've listened to this Under the Covers album so much now.
Mm-hmm.
And, so to me, it's like, in their own rights, they're great in what they were. But now I'm almost leaning more towards the Under the Covers version because I've listened to the album so much. But English Beat, is great in their own right. And so that's why I asked the question the way I did, because in my mind, if I had to pick one, I'm almost leaning towards Matthew Sweet, Susanna Hoffs now. And so I was wondering where you went with Rusty Cage, because that was my parallel,
I think I've driven home the point, but that is pretty incredible.
Yeah.
It really is. It's just one of the best. It ranks up there with one of my favorite Johnny Cash performances.
Mm.
And I mean, I love Johnny Cash. I like a lot of his stuff. It's good stuff. Knowing his story and all that stuff, it's fascinating to see the the biography movie. What is it called? Dang it, with Joaquin Phoenix and Reese Witherspoon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They were amazing in that, playing.
Yes.
Johnny and see, there goes my brain again.
Okay. June.
June, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Welcome.
Yeah. Johnny and June. I'm going to have to look up this Under the Covers. I don't know what this...
Oh, my God. Yeah. I just realized they also do a cover of a Kirstie McCall song. They Don't Know.
Aww.
So, it's Under the Covers, Volume 3.
I'm looking at 3. All different ones here.
Yeah, so Volume 3, I've got things like Free Falling from Tom Petty, Our Lips Are Sealed by the Go-Go's, Towers of London by XTC, Killing Moon, Echo and the Bunnymen. So a lot of good songs that are on there. They're just, I appreciate those two talents, Matthew Sweet, like I mentioned before, and, Susanna Hoffs from the Bengals, of course.
Yeah.
They just have a great sound together. And then just redoing, these not necessarily huge songs, but just, well-known songs. It's great. So if you get a chance, I listen to it on Spotify often.
Oh, cool. I'll have to check it out. I just recently got back into Spotify. So.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm Spotify challenged.
much like Twitter.
Yes, exactly. If it's not Facebook or Pandora, I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
Yeah, you can find Scott on MySpace.com.
No, actually, it's at Prodigy. I'm on Prodigy.
And Scott... Wait.
Or was it Cities? What was it? GeoCities.
Yeah. GeoCities and AOL chat.
That's yeah, every time Scott AOL logs chat. In, he gets, you've got mail. So,
you've got mail.
We're definitely dating ourselves here. So, were there any other honorable mentions that you guys want to throw out there? I mean, I know we already covered Michael Bolton, but if you guys want to go a little more in depth with that.
I can't even think of anybody.
No, actually, I mean, you know, like, I remember the first...
Well, actually, I can't.
My wife and I were at... we both went to the same concert, but we weren't... I don't think it was... We weren't dating yet. And then it was Van Halen for Unlawful Carnal Knowledge that came out that year.
Okay. I know REM, Out of Time, came out that year.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Adams, Waking Up the Neighborhood. And an album that I thought that... For some reason, in my mind's eye, I thought it had a lot more influence on me, was Roxette, Joyride. But I was actually in the backyard working today, and I brought up that album, you know, once again on Spotify, just because I wanted to revisit it. And there was really only one song on the whole album that I really knew. But, I mean, it was a pleasant album to listen to, but it just reminded me. I was like, all right, well, other than Joyride, that's really the only song that kind of really stuck out on me. But I gave it a shot, you know? Spellbound by Paula Abdul. That's another good one.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Michael Jackson, Dangerous. He had, Remember the Time was on that one. Heal the World.
Remember the Time. That's a great song.
I did a really kick-ass. Really,
I love that song. Heal the World.
Yeah, that is a good song. Black or White.
That's Yo, I love that song. Another really good song.
Yeah.
Dirty Diana was on there, was it?
No, that was the
previous one. Bad? Was that from Bad?
Was that Bad or Thriller? Probably Bad.
Was not Thriller.
Was not Thriller. So it was Bad then.
Yeah, I think it was Bad. He was into the black leather at that point.
Yes, that's right. It was one of his better looks. So, yeah. But I did a cover of Heal the World. It's on my MySpace page. I'm not kidding. In 2009, and my granddaughter sang on it with me. And she got kind of upset because I kept making her practice because she was going flat on some of the notes. She's like, I don't want to sing with grandma anymore. She's hard. But, you know.
Well, maybe she wasn't going flat. Maybe it was your hearing that was going flat.
Yeah, I know.
Ooh.
I hear that. Are you sure you're listening to me right? Yes, I am. She was 9 at the time, okay? So if you go back and you ask her, she'll be 18 in August. She'll be like, oh, grandma's so perfectionist. Oh, my God. Not really. You didn't call me on any of my flat notes. But yeah. See, I think what it was is when I told her we were going to do it in the studio, I made the mistake of saying, you know, if you don't get it, you know, exactly right, that's okay because, you know, the engineer can kind of smooth it out. And she took that as don't try because the engineer is going to fix it. Like, no, it doesn't work that way. But it was fun. It was a good song. I got like over 400 listens on that on MySpace.
MySpace. It's like, wow. I just bringing back so many great memories.
I know. Me? Are you being sarcastic? Because I loved MySpace. I'm just sad that, you know, nobody else. It's changed so much.
I haven't been on there in a decade.
Yeah.
Like, I set up an account originally when I started with Facebook. I remember I went back and looked at MySpace because there were still people that were on MySpace before they switched over to Facebook. And I really didn't know anything about MySpace. So.
Do you remember a website called Trig?
No.
Trig.com. It's actually something else now, but there used to be this website just specifically for people who didn't like MySpace. They were into like heavier music. A lot of the people that migrated from there went to Trig. And I met a lot of people. There are a lot of musicians and a lot of people that like heavy metal and heavy, you know, rock and things like that. It was actually kind of a cool little gig to hang out with for a while. It didn't last very long. I think the owners had some financial difficulties and they were able to keep the website up. But I met a lot of really cool people from there. And then I finally just gave in and started my Facebook because I really didn't want to do a Facebook.
I just looked it up and MySpace was headquartered in Beverly Hills.
Ooh.
Interesting.
Beverly Hills. That's where I want to be.
That, and I was also curious if we were if we're jumping past the 90s, and we obviously are, so. Okay, I think we covered our honorable mentions for the 1991 albums. Mm-hmm. So, what we're going to do is remind everybody how to get a hold of us. You can go to our website at bonsairetroclub.myspace.com. No, just kidding. that's B-A-N-Z-A-I retroclub.com. There's no MySpace in there. You can go and follow us on all our social media endeavors, and that being Tumblr, Twitter, and Facebook, all that kind of good jazz. So we encourage you to go to that website, check that out. Another great thing that's on that website is the ability to leave us a voicemail. We would like to encourage you to do that. Please go out there, and if you have a favorite 1991 album that you'd like to give an honorable mention to, please leave us a voicemail or shoot us an email at McFly@BonsaiRetroClub.com. And we would love to get that from you, and we would read that on a future episode. Another thing that's on that website is the ability to do this thing called Patreon. Scott likes to tell us about that.
Yes, Patreon is on. You can go through our webpage, and you can help support us by helping giving a monthly donation. And for doing that, as subscribers, you would get we're going to start doing a little bit behind the scenes stuff where you get to hear some of our pre-show and post-show talk. Tonight we're not going to have any post-show talk because my battery on my computer is about to die. I got it going. So I'm going to pass this on to Rose real quick so she can talk about iTunes before we get cut off.
All righty. iTunes has housed our podcast, and we encourage you to go on there and find it, subscribe to it, listen to it, and leave us a review. Don't be PC. I mean, if that's your shtick, then go for it. That's fine. But if you're just like a regular Joe and you're like, yeah, you guys suck, you need to talk more about Nirvana or Diana Ross or whoever, we'll be like, yeah, we'll give it under consideration. But frankly, those two categories don't go together. But if you do leave us a review, we'd be more than happy to like give you a shout out. So make sure you leave like really good detailed information from where you are, like if you're in Saskatchewan or Tuskegee, Illinois, or wherever you're from. And I don't even think those two things go together, to be honest with you. What am I talking about? If you're somewhere in the world and you want us to give you a shout out, just say, hey, this is where I am. Shout me out and we'll be more than happy to. And we'll read your review. And thank you all for listening because we do this for you.
Yeah, and if you don't leave us a review, we are going to have an episode where we talk about the whole catalog of Michael Bolton. So,
absolutely.
That will happen if you don't start writing us reviews.
So, hey, I'm going to interrupt for a second. Before we actually go, do you want to read any reviews?
Do you have
before my battery dies?
Let's see if we can find one real quick here. Give me a minute.
Just open up iTunes.
I know how to get to the reviews. I know what you I'm doing.
Da da da.
Bonsai Retro Club. All right, there it is. And there's a silly picture of a dog with sunglasses. Who the hell thought of that? All right. Oh wait, I did. Oh, never mind.
I like this message. Battery dying. Can't find cord. Wrap it up. Sorry.
I'm sorry. I'm down to 10%.
Yes, sir.
All right, so we had one that said the title of the review is called So Fun with double exclamation points. It says, we love this podcast. Such a blast to revisit the 70s, 80s, and 90s. And that was from Tofria.
Aw, that's so cute. Thank you.
Yeah, that's awesome. One that I definitely want to give a shout out to. This is, it says, be excellent, exclamation point. Said, this podcast makes me want to electric boogaloo, wax on, wax off, and be excellent. Fun, down to earth, great chemistry among the hosts, and a lot of heart. That's our good friend, Shy, pancake for table.
That's what I thought. Aww,
thank you, yeah. Shy. We love you.
And then Oscar at underscore 1205, love to listen, and that's actually my mom. I made her do that review.
Thanks, Mom.
That's what happens when I'm in the house and I go, hey, let me borrow your phone.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. Too fun.
But, yeah, that's at least three of the shout outs of the 17 reviews we do have. So hopefully, awesome. You know, next time we'll get some more in there and we can keep doing that.
Yeah.
All right, so this is the part where we remind people to be excellent to each other. Just a golden rule, treat each other like you want to be treated. Just be nice and be cool.
Yeah.
Since we have no idea when you're going to be listening to this, have a good whatever. Bye.
Bye.
Take care.
This has been a Bonsai Retro Club production.
Bonsai Danielson!
Hey, Bonsai!
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 And we're clear.
Woohoo!
And Scott's not dead yet. So.
No, just towards the end, my battery thing was starting to go off. I'm like, I have not seen my cord in a while, and I'm not going to go running around the house looking for it. I'm down to 8% on my PC.
Oh, okay. Dude, you got plenty of time.
It says 7 minutes.
This is like the Seinfeld, the Kramer episode. What we're going to do is we're going to drive around in the car on E.
See how far the E
see,
can go.
See how long we can go.
My iPhone is incredible. I've had that thing down to 1% for an hour and 20 minutes.
Wow.
Wow. That is impressive.
You can write a lot of damn reviews there. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, it was, I'm surprised that it lasts that long, so it's good.
That's a lot of selfies.
That's what she said. All right. You know, I really wish The Office was a 90s TV show because I could go on and on about that.
Oh, that's a good show.
2000s, though. Yeah. We might have to expand.
Yeah, my wife and I, we watched this show called Nashville. I don't know if you guys ever seen it before, but it's more soap opera-ish than, but it's got a lot of good music to it. But there's this actor on it. One of the lead actors, a guy named Deacon. Oh, Scott's gone.
Oh, he's gone.
And what I was just going to say was just that I recognize this actor was on The Office, and I didn't realize that he'd been on it before.
Wow.
Yeah, I was watching like a back episode, and I was like, wait a minute, that's Deacon, you know, from another TV show, and it was kind of funny.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Well, I'm probably going to go eat dinner.
All right, you should do that.
Kind of a long weekend.
Very busy. For 7 minutes. I love that.
Good night.
Yep.
Hysterical.